Conversations with Phil. Business advice without the BS. Just straight talk and frank conversations to help you grow your business by teaching you to get more leads, earn more referrals, and close more business. Each episode, Phil has a conversation with a business leader to offer you insights from their business and translate it into actionable tips for your business.
Hey, everyone. So today I get to talk to my favorite karaoke meister, my good friend, Rob Ellickson. Rob is the master of disaster at Spin Doctors in Milwaukee, and he's someone I met, gosh, now it's got to be 6 or 7 years ago at a karaoke function, where we just had some conversations about social media and about the business and stuff. And I thought, you know, I need to bring Rob on the show and I need to talk to him because, you know, a lot of things go into karaoke. It's one of my favorite things. And I bet there's a lot of stuff that I can learn from Rob. So good morning, Rob. How are you?
Hi, Phil. I'm doing really good today. Good to see you. Actually, you know, since you moved away, it's really good to actually see you and talk to you instead of just talk to you on Facebook.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, good. So you're downtown. You said you're on the corner of Michigan and Broadway, which is one of my favorite spots there. Is it still Michael T. Murphy's Swing and Door Saloon, or who owns that now? Do you know?
I know it's not Mr. Murphy anymore. There's a couple that own it, but I can't think of their names. I see them every once in a while.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So that's for all my Milwaukee friends who are looking around and wondering where the heck Rob is. So he's got some. He picked a cool backdrop for us, so it's real fun to talk about that. So karaoke, though, is genuinely one of my favorite things. So how did you get started in this? How long have you been doing it, and why do you keep doing it?
I come from a showbiz family. I think I'm fourth or fifth generation. We're all in, you know, or at some time have been in show business. So I've always sang. I've always been in theater. I've always done stuff with that. I grew up listening to my dad's bands practicing, that kind of stuff. I did my first karaoke show in, I think, 1990.
Wow!
About 26 years ago. And started owning my own business, doing it in 2001. As to why I do it, it's just something I've like always done as an adult. Yeah, I don't know how to do it beyond that. But it's a lucrative business if you run it as a business as opposed to a hobby.
Yes, the business of business instead of the hobby of business. That's smart. So when if you think back, you said 1990. So what the heck were you singing in 1990 on karaoke? Was there like cassette tapes or 8-tracks or how did that work?
When I first started, I worked for a guy named Mike Baravella, and it was on cassette tapes. We had cassette tapes and big binders with all the words in plastic sheets and these giant binders on a music stand. And I always tell my DJs about this because they have a lot of trouble fathoming it. But the two most difficult parts about it were drunk people would knock over these binders and these plastic sheets would go all over the bar floor and we'd have to gather them up. And karaoke now, as most people that have done it know, there's little counters on the screen telling you little boxes that open up, and then it's time to sing again. Well, we just had cassette tapes, so I had to know every single one of our songs, be able to tell this person, okay, come back in here. You know, just kind of point to them, okay, the musical break is over.
Wow! So
that was probably one of the more challenging parts about it. Because I was 18 years old, and there was a lot of music that was a lot older than I was going on, so I had to learn a lot of music to do it. We only had about probably 2,000 songs, which it was a lot at the time, but I have about 87,000 songs now that are on my phone. So I'm glad I don't have to know all those songs anymore.
Holy cow. So 1990, so what were some popular karaoke songs back in 1990? Are they the same ones today? Like, did people still sing Neil Diamond, you know, Sweet Caroline? Or what were they singing then?
Yeah, Sweet Caroline's always been popular. I remember back then, Love Shack was really, really big as a duet. You don't hear that one as often anymore, but it was one of those songs we heard every night, along with Summer Nights from Greece, which we still hear every night. But people really didn't sing Don't Stop Believin', which is the most popular karaoke song now. And that kind of popped up when Glee came on the air. That was their first big song they did in their premiere of the show. And that song just got a huge boost out of that.
Wow. So I think one of the things that Glee did to that song, though, is they made it acceptable for women to sing that song. Because before it was a lot of, you know, Steve Perry, though he sounds very, you know, he's got a high voice. I'd never seen a woman sing, even attempt that song until like 2005 or 2006. Now, I'm sure you probably saw it sooner than that, but I think having it more approachable to both, you know, to both sexes, I think has been, you know, has been helpful in that popularity.
I think so. Yeah. It's a song that, yeah, it's just changed. It's a big group song. Everybody sings along with it. Movies and TV really affect what is popular with karaoke. Bohemian Rhapsody, nobody sang until Wayne's World came out, and then everybody sang that song. I'd say one of the more interesting things is the emergence of American Idol when that came on the air, and Glee being on the air, and The Voice, and the sing-off, and shows like that. People that are, you know, mid-20s, early 30s, early 20s, they all grew up with singing being kind of a cool thing, kind of a normal thing. When I grew up in the 80s, I was in choir in high school, and we were definitely not the most popular kids. But I'm guessing in high school, it's a much bigger deal now. Oh yeah, they can really sing, you know? So people sing more because of those shows. I think that has really just people that just grew up with it as, oh, it's normal to just get up and sing a song. In our culture, that wasn't really always the case until probably around 2000, a little bit before, but not too much before.
Yeah, no, that, you know, now that I think about it, that totally makes sense, because I was in choir in high school as well, and then I was in choir in the Navy. But in choir in high school, we had three guys in the choir. It was me and Scott and Dan. We were the only three guys in the choir, and I can tell you that the only reason that Scott took it is because his dad made him take it. I think Dan took it to meet women, and I took it just because I didn't really want to be in a band, and I'm not good at chop. So that was my choice, I kind of by default, and I enjoyed it, but I don't know that I ever maybe took it as seriously as I could have and never really developed that, you know, that singing voice. But now, my goodness, you go to some of these karaoke things, and you can tell, as the DJ, I'm guessing you have to turn the sound way down because some of these people really wail, huh?
Oh yeah, there's some big voices out there. There's some great voices. It's very humbling if you think you can sing and then you see somebody else sing that can. There's just a lot of really good talent out there that obviously most people can't make a living at just singing, but they definitely have the skills to do it. Some of the voices I hear are just head-turningly amazing. And it's one of the best parts of what I do is being able to see this. And, you know, somebody, you kind of have this idea of who they are when they're coming up to sign up, and they sign up for something totally different than you think they're going to. You might get a guy with a cowboy hat and big belt buckle, and he comes up and wants to do Usher. You know, you just don't, you don't always expect what's going to come out of them. And then when they actually do sing, when they can really nail it, and you think this is a guy that their friends just made him come up here, but they can sing. There's always a little bit of joy in that for me. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Makes my life kind of, it's one of those, makes my life sweet.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. You get to really cheer somebody else on and watch them, you know, come up. Maybe they're shy, but they come up on stage and they just can nail it. And you get to be a small part of that. So that, I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. So
probably the thing about about what we do that isn't really thought about by most people is it doesn't matter if somebody can sing or not sing, though. They could be terrible, but I don't know what their life is like. I don't know if they have a terrible boss or a bad marriage or whatever they're going through. But I think in general, people don't feel as important as often as they feel the need to. And this might be the best 3 minutes of their life, whether they're on key or off key, whatever it is. This is the thing that they need. This is cheaper than therapy. They come up and sing a song and drink a couple beers, you know. So I don't think there are any bad karaoke singers because of that. I think It's about people having fun. It's about people maybe getting a little recognition that don't get enough recognition. So I think that's probably the most important thing about what I do that most people wouldn't realize.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. Recognizing the person for who they are and just the courage to get up, because I would bet if you're out and there's 100 people, what would you say, how many people out of 100, Rob, actually get up and actually sing a song?
That's really hard for me to say that I only personally do 2 shows a week myself. I don't have time for the rest because of the rest of the business we have going on. But, and those shows have been there so long, I'll have the majority of the crowd that sings. I know statistically, most people's biggest fear is public speaking, as I'm sure you know, more than most people.
Yep.
And I equate that to singing. And people's second biggest fear is being set on fire. So technically, people would rather be set on fire than get up in front of people and speak or sing. So that, yeah, I think there is some courage to sure.
That's cool. Yeah, and if you drink too much, you could both sing and be set on fire at the same show, which is really fun, right?
I look at it as that would be being efficient.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So as a karaoke DJ, what are some of the rules that you follow and that you teach your team to follow in regards to karaoke to help people that are that are there have a better experience?
First of all, like I said, there's no bad karaoke singers. It's all about having a good time. Secondly, is keeping the list fair, which is as people imbibe a little bit more, sometimes they lose track and think they're getting skipped. Luckily, we have software where we can actually show them that they're not. But it's a lot of hand-holding later in the night because of things like that. What else do I tell them? That the rest of it is just technical stuff about sound levels and things that I'm sure that anybody watching this might find incredibly boring or technical, so I'm not really going to go into it. But those are the two big things. It's just, kind of respect everybody and realize that that even though we're right because we have the software and we see what's going on and we're sober, that they're not. And we have to give them, some room on that. We have to, work with them and, explain that, this is just what's going on instead of, saying, no, you don't be short with them. They're there to have a good time. And we do everything we can to help them have a good time while being fair to everybody that's in line. Mm. I'll have shows where there's a 2-2.5 hour wait to sing because they have so many singers. And what I usually do when people come up and is I just, point at the room and said, all these people are singers and there's 200 people here. Or, explain the math that most of the time I can only fit about 12 singers in an hour. And then that kind of clicks. When I have all these people, then there's only 12 people in an hour because songs are like 3 to 4 minutes long. So, well, actually 4 to 5 minutes long most songs these days. So,
That makes sense. So simple rule. So what about as me, the karaoke singer, right? What are some guidelines that can help me have a better experience and not come off as an a-hole?
Don't drop the mic. I don't care what you see on TV. I don't care what rappers are doing. I don't care what... If those people are dropping mics, they're their mics. They're not my mics. And this is how I make my living. So don't drop the mic is the most annoying new trend. I have shows stop just because all the mics are broken. And then it costs me, X number of dollars to replace them before my next show. So I lose all my profit on. So that's number one. The second is how you hold a mic makes a big difference. A lot of people want to put their hand all around the top of it, but then you'd only hear your mid-tones. You wouldn't hear your highs and your lows. And I usually let people know that before they sing. Sometimes people listen, sometimes people don't. Pick songs that you're having fun with, because if you're having fun, the audience has fun. You don't have to sing them great. As long as you're having a good time, they'll have a good time. And I usually encourage singing faster songs and slower songs for the same reason. But, a great singer, it doesn't matter if it's a faster song or a slower song. If they're really good, people will stop and look. But I do have some great singers that are not really good at great song choices. They're singing more for themselves than for the audience. And that's fine too, because like I said, it's all about them having a good time for 3 minutes. You know, I don't really have any hard and fast rules other than that. If you're just coming out to sing, just come out, have a good time, and, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah.
Don't take it too seriously.
There you go. Yeah, I like that. Don't take it too seriously. That's a good reminder for us, regardless of what we're doing, is, you know, don't take yourself too seriously. Even if you think you're professional, you still can make mistakes. You still can do things maybe better next time or differently next time in a way that connects differently. I would also, you know, from the shows that I've been to, one of the other things is remember that the audience is there for them, not for you. So if they're not looking or they're not singing along, it's often because of where they are, not as a result of how good or bad you're singing.
That's a very fair point. I haven't really thought about that. Yeah, they're there with their friends. They might be out for the first time in months. So it's not all about the person on stage. So they're not necessarily being ignored. They're just, you know, they're in a bar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So cool. So, you know, you said that, you know, Summer Nights gets sung every night, probably a couple times, I'm guessing, a night. So how do you, as the DJ, how do you not drive yourself crazy listening to the same stuff night after night after night, sung by varying degrees of proficiency?
Honestly, for some reason, it doesn't bother me at all. The other nice thing about it is I hear these songs so often that they're like ingrained on my soul. So I can, you know, jump off stage and go get a glass of water or run to the restroom or whatever. And, you know, all I have to do is pay attention for a second. I know exactly how much time I have left to get back up there to my station. So it's kind of nice when it's a song that I know that well, instead of something I've never heard, then I have to stay there because I have no idea what's happening or if, or when it ends or that kind of stuff. So it actually, it's a nice tool to have, hearing songs that I know that well.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. You know, a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people. I think, boy, you know, if I had to hear, you know, such song by someone who's completely tone deaf for the 57th time this week, I would probably want to spork my ears off. So that's good that you look at that in a positive way as an opportunity to take a break, catch your breath, and you know right where you are so you can jump back in and get become part of it. So I like that, Rob. That's cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So personally now, so how, you know, talk to us a little bit about some of the elements of the business maybe that surprise you that you didn't think. I mean, you mentioned it importantly at the beginning that it can be lucrative if you run it like a business. So what are some of those business type tips that you can share with us that, you know, we can take regardless of the business that we're in?
Let's see. When I first started my own thing in 2001, I remember one of the things that I'd calculated everything out, and what I hadn't calculated out was the cost of printing and the cost of cords and cables, because they just seemed very minor to me, and they ended up being a much larger expense than I thought. And I guess how that would apply to other businesses is, you know, and it should seem really simple, but most people getting into a business for themselves for the first time are very excited about the big thing. You know, if you're, you know, I don't know, pouring cement, you think about, you know, how you transport the cement, the cost of the cement, the major thing that pours the cement. I don't know what it's called. I don't know much about cement. But what you might not think about is the cost of wood around the edges. And you think, oh, yeah, we just get some wood for that. But if you're doing, you know, a long driveway, that wood might be a couple $100 that you didn't factor in. So, you know, I tell people, you know, pay attention to the little things. Same thing like when you're starting your own office, whatever it is, you don't think about, oh, I just need some pens. I need some staples. I need, you know, you'll think about the cost of the computer, maybe the desk, but you don't think about, oh, I need how many reams of paper, and they're $4 a piece, or, and suddenly all that stuff adds up. I would say that would be, you know, for anybody starting out, it's something to pay attention to. Some other things that I've learned, because karaoke is only about 20% of our business, but we do all these different entertainment things, is always be looking for new ways to do things, looking for new, you know, time savers and stuff like that. When I started out, a lot of things that are available now weren't there then. We basically didn't have any social media to advertise. We had a web page. And when I bought Spin Doctors, I bought it for somebody who was 7 years old, and they were in 13 phone books, and that was the extent of their advertising. I think they had a web page, but they didn't utilize it. You know, as things have evolved for the last 16 years, you know, we have all these cool things at our fingertips that move way too fast for the human eye, the changes in algorithms and everything that we do there. But, you know, kind of stay on top of it. And I did that for a long, long time. And what we're evolving into now is now I'm hiring people that's what they love and that's what they do. Me, I love entertainment. I like these products. I don't necessarily love the algorithms of Facebook and trying to keep track of them or how big text can be on a picture before it's acceptable in terms of use, not because that changes. But if I, you know, I find people and start handing off little jobs, tiny jobs. Like I don't hire an office person, but I'll find four or five virtual assistants that'll each do little snippets of what I need, and very cost effective. It's good for them, good for me. And they'll care about what they specialize in far more than I ever will. And, you know, at the same time, our company used to be an entertainment company, and now it's a marketing company that happens to do entertainment. And I think most businesses are like that nowadays. The problem is a lot of businesses don't realize that that's what they, you know, should be doing, because that's not what they do. They pour cement. I said, no, your job is to find people that need cement poured. And then once you find them, and you can pour cement. And I think people think about it really, really backwards. With the, you know, just parceling things out, we sat down a couple days ago and just figured out how many different how many roles we have in the business, and there were 41 of them, and there were two of us doing it. And each one of those roles might have three or four little jobs that they do. And, you know, that's why I didn't have time to grocery shop or cook or exercise or a whole bunch of things that should be part of normal everyday life, especially if you're successful. You should be able to have, you know, you should be able to have time to cook your own dinner, and I didn't. So that's when we started parceling it all out and figuring out what somebody else can do compared to what I can do myself. There's some things that I can't let go of. They're just like, I do this better than anybody else. I have to keep doing this. But there's some things that if somebody did 80% of what I would do 100%, it would still be fine to the human eye. People wouldn't, you know, it would still be done. And at the same time, some things that I was going 100% on myself, even my 100% isn't nearly as good as their, you know, 20% as an expert. So balancing that all out that's our behind the scenes, our back office stuff. That's our biggest focus right now, because we're just going in so many different directions and so many different places and states and things like that. So it's just really hard to manage it as a two-person operation.
Wow. So finding someone, you know, finding people who need cement poured, finding people who need what you sell is the number one priority. That's brilliant. I've never heard it said so well. So that's really a great lesson for all of us. And then, you know, finding out what you do best and what only you can do and doing that, and then delegating the rest so that the rest gets done to the best of other people's ability. I think those are two awesome tips, Rob. Thank you for sharing those. I really, really like those. And those are great for anybody who's, you know, whether you're leading people or you're selling or you're running your own business. I think that's spectacular. So good stuff, man. So give us one tip. If we're going to start our own business, like right now, and we're going to think about, okay, so what's the one thing I can do first to kind of get me along that path that maybe is an unexpected thing that you've learned? What would that be?
Starting from just scratch, just from the beginning. Sure. It's funny, actually, I teach this to, we have some contractors doing our trivia business in other cities, and they've never been an independent contractor before. And a lot of people don't even realize that that is a business in and of itself. So I'd say the first couple things that you want to do is go online and get your employer identification number. Once you have that, go get a bank account set up with that employee identification number, as opposed to, you know, your own personal thing. So you can separate, and it protects yourself and gives you most of the time a better tax advantage because you have a business. So I'd say those are the first couple things that I think a lot of people starting out don't even consider. They're too busy being in their industry and not busy enough being in their business. And it's huge in the entertainment field. A book I'm working on is called The Second Word in Show Business is Business. And it's just how to apply basic business principles to, being in the arts or being, in entertainment, because most people are the product and they don't, they don't look at all the other things that they have to do. I would say starting out, I know it sounds really basic and kind of boring. A couple other things, and one of them is something that I just kind of learned recently. When you start out, your business name should say what you do. It shouldn't be some weird word or something people have to figure out. That is your first form of marketing, is, Joe the cement pourer, as opposed to, Sir Fipulous, Dye Incorporated. Nobody know what you do. You want people to say, oh, you're Joe, you pour cement. I don't know why I keep going back to cement. I really have no love or need. I don't know much about cement, but I don't know why that just, because I'm trying to think of something what feels very opposite of what I do. But, you should have that as your first form of marketing, is have it in your name.
They're simple, but they're things often overlooked, Rob. I like that, right? Get your EIN, really important. Go do that. And then open a bank account with that EIN to get a little bit more protection. And then, when you pick your name, pick something that actually is descriptive of what you do and not some crazy name that has nothing to do with what you do, even if you think it's cute. Because frankly, not only is that a marketing because people say it, remember, people have to go to Google and put that in order to find that. And if you're, Rob the Spin Doctor, well, if you're calling yourself Jim the Cement Pourer, you're probably not going to be found. Or some crazy name, right? Come up with something that nobody's ever heard of. That might be cute in 10 years, but that probably, cute isn't always effective. So I think that's a really, really smart lesson for us, Rob.
Right now, branding is thrown around as a big deal. And you're not really a brand until people know how good your product is. It's hard to look at, I want to be the next Pepsi. I want to be the next Kleenex. I don't know if anybody would really want to be a Kleenex. But but they didn't start as Pepsi. They didn't start as Kleenex. They started as, something good to drink. Something that I can throw away after I blow my nose in it. And then maybe years later, it became synonymous. Or, you look at Coke does these beautiful commercials, but they don't have to say anything about Coke. They're just these cool artistic things. But if you try to do that, nobody knows what your widget is, it doesn't help. And I think people these days are trying to be a brand too quickly, where you want people to recognize the name and know what it is. And there's a lot of hard work and time and doing your job well to cause that. You don't. On the other hand, you can also get the name known if you're terrible at what you do, and you don't want that either. So you do have to pay attention to your product, of course, but don't go out there as a new entrepreneur and try to be a brand. It doesn't. You're not big enough. You might. You're just not big enough to do that yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully someday.
Yeah. No. That's great advice, right? Kick butt at your business, and the brand will follow. That's really right. Good. So I dig that. Yeah. Thanks. So I like that. So Rob, I always enjoy our conversations, and I know people, you're in a lot of different places, as you said. So how do people get connected with you if they want some entertainment, they want some trivia, they want some karaoke, they want some DJ, how do they get connected to you and your organization?
We do have a lot of different names. We do a lot of different things. Our main website is spindoctors.net with two N's in it. Speaking of spelling things weird, I bought the name that way. I would never have done that myself. spindoctors.net. And from there, you can kind of branch to our other entities. And if you need a wedding DJ, or you need trivia, or you need some of the other cool things that we do, that's probably our main point. Otherwise, our trivia is smartastrivia.com. Or that could be our toll-free number at 844 pub quiz. I just got that, so I'm pretty proud of it. And karaoke, and there's just a whole bunch of things to keep track of. But that's the best way to get a hold of us. You can also reach me directly at 414-708-3353.
Cool. Cool. So spindoctors.net, give them a call, 1-844-PUB-QUIZ, or, you know, however you want, and look for Rob. He's doing cool stuff. He's got a cool team, and he runs karaoke and entertainment as a business, something we can all learn to do better. So thanks, Rob, for being with me this morning. It was really, really, really informative and really entertaining, as always.
Great, Phil. It's really good to be here. I look forward to actually watching this back and cringe at the way my voice sounds.